Now, I've been preaching through Matthew 24 recently because it is the direct teaching of Jesus about the end times. I feel it is one of the best study sections dealing with the end, which I passionately believe is imminently near. Prior to our 50th celebration for Solid Rock 2 weeks ago, which was fantastic, by the way, and I just want to thank everybody again who was involved in that, all of those who volunteered setting up and cooking and taking down and all the things that went on. But prior to that, I had covered all the verses in chapter 24 up through verse 18, so the first 18 verses. And I talked about the signs of the birth pangs, if you remember that. I explained from Daniel chapter 9 about the Antichrist standing in the holy place or in the temple of the Jews, which still must be built, rebuilt. And I just encourage you again, watch for that to happen in the very near future. Although if you are a pre-tribulation believer, you believe we'll be transpired or raptured before that takes place. But realize that if the Antichrist comes from a Muslim nation, and it's highly probable he will, for years and years and years they said he would come from the European coalition and a nation that would come out of Rome. But many more scholars are now believing he will come from a Muslim nation. And if a Muslim goes into the Jewish temple and declares himself as God or the final prophet, even above Muhammad, and he desecrates their temple by setting up an idol to himself, that would be a complete fulfillment of Islamic teaching, which is a caliphate. I'm not sure if that's how they pronounce it, but to use their words, it's basically the next coming of the next highest prophet above Muhammad. And it would be a powerful, powerful way of getting the Muslims to join his side. And personally, I think that is kind of what's going to go on. So let's put up Matthew 24, 19 through 22, if we can get that up on the screen, the scriptures. There we go. And let's start reading there today. We'll continue on from where we left off. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray, please pay attention to that, pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, Christians, those days will be cut short. Now, the first two verses of that little section are primarily, and I talked about this the last time, addressing the Jewish people in and around Jerusalem. Just a couple verses earlier, we didn't read it because I read it in the past, a few weeks ago. It says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So it's specifically talking to the Jewish people that are in Israel. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, I almost put it on the overhead. You can look it up yourself if you want to. It's a little short verse, but Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And it is going to be. Now, having a child to take care of during a time of fleeing and intense tribulation, or having it happen during a cold time period where it's maybe snowing or that type of thing. They don't get a lot of snow over there, but because it usually doesn't get that cold, but they get it about once every 7 years or so. And you didn't have time to go back and get more clothes, if you remember that. It says, let him who is on the rooftop not even go back down and get a cloak. Just take off, get going real fast. And I talked about that. And so it says, don't pray that it doesn't happen during the winter, or even pray that it doesn't happen on a Sabbath, where there might have to be a decision to travel a great distance very, very quickly, and it has to be made, and you would make you a Torah lawbreaker if you were to do that on the Sabbath. You're only supposed to go a certain distance. And most scholars think that's what that part is addressing. But by the way, I just want to point a couple things out to you in this section. First of all, the word Sabbath. It says pray that it doesn't happen on a Sabbath. Okay, you see that? And the word Sabbath in the Greek is not followed by a Sabbath day. And say that. Are there sabbatical Sabbath years? Church? Sure there are. Yes, there are. Every seventh year. And God had certain commands for the Jews at that time. Some suggest that the re-implementation of the Jewish temple, when it gets rebuilt and they start re-offering animal sacrifice, which is too bad because Jesus already came once for all and sacrificed his blood. Amen. I mean, that was done once and for all. There doesn't have to be any more sacrifices given, but they will reinstitute temple animal sacrifice. But if all of that is done, then many theorize they're going to start keeping the sabbatical years. They already know them, but they don't pay a whole lot of attention to them. They plant in the Sabbath now, and it will become much more strictly enforced. So if that happens, the sabbatical year part of it, and if that's what this verse means, pray that it doesn't happen on the sabbatical year, then that could mean that Jewish farmers would not have planted anything. They just let the ground rest for that year. And if you're fleeing, you're not going to have any food to glean or pick or anything along the way. So interesting concept. Don't know if it's going to happen that way or if it means on a Sabbath day in which they would be breaking the law. There's lots of possibilities. I'm not sure. I've been praying for wisdom. I'm not planning on being over in Jerusalem and having to flee for my life. But hold on to that thought for just a second, because does it only apply to the Jews? Certainly it directly applies. But even further out than just Israel, in general across the world, the horror of the tribulation period will be like nothing we've ever seen before. Nothing. Not the flood, not World War I, II, not any of the other things that we've had to face. It's going to be awful, all right? And it's going to be like nothing we've ever experienced before. And negative things are going to be happening everywhere on planet Earth. The Antichrist is going to begin to gain power. There will be some people fighting against him, but it's not going to be a pleasant time to be on the earth. I believe that many all over the world will eventually try to hide or become far more self-providing than before. I really do respect the people who are learning how to plant gardens and learning how to raise chickens and that kind of a thing. And I know you can't do that if you're in the middle of the city and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying to you that even American Christians, I believe, need to become aware that there may become a time in the not-too-distant future where we're not going to be able to buy and sell like we had been, that normal things aren't going to be normal. Those in the country and small towns are going to have a far better chance of doing those type of things than those that live in the city, but so even if those verses don't directly apply to us, and again, we may be raptured by that time, that is the teaching of many. I personally do not believe we will be raptured by that time. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Just don't ignore these verses. Just don't say, well, I'm going to be raptured, it doesn't matter to me, and those are the Jews, and it doesn't matter to, you know, I'm not even going to be around. They may ultimately apply to us in a different way. We may not need to flee right away, like to some hiding spot like the Jews, or else we would be killed. But we may need, and I personally happen to believe that in a far more covert way, we're going to have to start making some decisions. We're going to have to start saying, will I continue to go to a church that teaches the standard of the Word of God? Will I do this for the sake of my kids? Will they cut off my kids from schooling? Will they cut off us being able to buy and sell food? Will they do some of these other things? And I think those things are coming. And hiding could literally become a way of life for various people around the world, more so than it ever has been before. It wouldn't be the first time that people of some religious faith have had to hide in order to save their lives. Amen? And that's happened a lot of times. By the way, if you have never read, I know many of you have, but if you have never read the book, The Hiding Place, or if you've never seen the movie, The Hiding Place, you need to read it. It's a true story written by Corrie Ten Boom, who has gone home to be with the Lord now. But she was in Holland, and they literally had, they were Christians. They kept Jews in their home and hid them. The Nazis came, arrested her, her parents, she and her sister, dad, everybody in their family was put into a concentration camp. Several of them died. Her sister died. She lived, and she wrote about it later on. But the Jews they were hiding, by the way, made it. They made it through. And so if you have not read that, make sure you read that book, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. You need to get it. It's a fascinating read, and it'll really stir your hearts, okay? Anyway, the horrors that they went through in World War II, not all that long ago. So I'm just saying to you, there does come a time in the world where people will be fleeing for their lives. And if you kind of go, that's not going to happen around here, just realize that that's what they said in Europe for a long, long time. And it happened there, all right? So all of that said, we need to understand that in these verses, Jesus is not saying, because it says, starts off, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes. He's not saying don't have babies. We're in the end times, so don't have any more kids. Listen, I want as many of those blessings as we can have that we're up here, okay? And so by all means, he's not saying that. His point was simply the severity of issues are multiplied when you're trying to take care of a small one who doesn't understand anything that's happened, like how to be quiet when they're really, really hungry and somebody's searching for you. You just can't keep a baby quiet. If they want to cry, you heard it. If they want to cry, they'll cry, all right? Or because they have hunger pangs. And remember, things like Pampers, and I'm not joking when I say this, will not be available when you're trying to hide or flee, all right? I don't say that as a joke. They won't have handy wipes. They won't have toilet paper. They won't have baby food. I mean, things that we've all gotten used to in America and around the world in more cultures that aren't quite the third world level. This will be a flee for your life issues for the Jews. And normal will just be out the window. And I realize a lot of you mamas out there, grandmamas and great-grandmas, grew up with diapers and diaper pails and cloth diapers and all that kind of stuff. But even that's going to be different. But, boy, we have frankly, I thank God for Pampers, but they're not going to be available. And so we have to be aware. So having young children will make it just that much harder. And that's kind of the point that Jesus was making here. Now, I want us to notice something I said pay attention to, and I find it very interesting. Jesus tells us ahead of time, we just read it on the scriptures, that this time to flee is coming. Now, that comes from the Lord, right? Didn't come from Pastor Randy. I'm not prophesying something. I'm reading it from scripture. So Jesus, in red letter, said, there's going to come a time where they're going to flee for their lives, and they're going to have to do it very, very quickly, all right? And he tells us that. He's going to say you're going to face the Antichrist, and the Jews are going to have to flee very quickly. But again, I want to repeat, that will spread all over the earth eventually with the rise of the mark of the beast. And when you study the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell without that mark. And there's going to be some things, you know, you can say today, I won't take that mark. I'm not taking anything on my forehead or the back of my right hand. And you can say that, but when you can't buy or sell anything, are you ready to be self-sufficient or ready to go home to be with the Lord? And Christians who are alive then will face miserable, miserable times. But I want you to notice that the Lord said, pray that it not happen during certain times so as to make matters worse. All right? See that in verse 20 up there? But pray. That's a command from Jesus. I wonder if anyone will discern enough to pray for something like that. I want to ask you a question. Do not answer it. Just think to yourself. Have you ever prayed up to this point in your life, Lord, in the end times, in the tribulation period, would you please not let that happen to the Jewish people or even to us on a Sabbath or during the winter time? You ever prayed, Dad? Because I don't think many of us even think about that. That just passes right over our heads. Ah, that's not important. It's no big deal. That's the teaching of Jesus. He said we're supposed to intercede and pray for that. So the implication is that we are to pray ahead of time that it doesn't occur at a particular moment. And I doubt that many Jews or saints have prayed recently for a mid-tribulation thing not to happen during the wintertime. And I guess I want you to think, I haven't even thought about it. I mean, you don't get to wait until it's happening, and then you go, oh, I think my pastor said something about it. I've read something about that in the scripture. Okay, I'm going to pray that it not happen. It's already happening. You understand what I'm saying? Don't wait till it's happening to pray for it. We're supposed to pray ahead of time. All right? So those are the very words of Jesus. Just wanted to point that out to you. We are to pray that it not happen at specific times. And that's in your Bible. That's in my Bible. So you can say, and I can teach, that it's going to happen to the Jews. They need to pray that it not happen at that time. Well, they're not reading the New Testament. So who was Jesus telling that to? Now, as I have repeatedly told you, many people believe that Christians will not have to face all of this, that they will be raptured out before the persecution begins, and I hope they are right. I've probably told you that 7 or 8 times over the years. But after much study, I need you to know, as I've repeatedly said, I teach and I see from Scripture that we need to face everything up until the wrath of God. So I am saying we will face the 7 seals being opened. We will face 6 of the 7 trumpets being blown. We will not face the 7 bowls of wrath of God. All right, now that's what I teach. And I will get into that later on, hopefully next week. In fact, Matthew 24 is one of my proof texts, but we won't get to any of that today. So I'm just saying, I'll tell you what, if we all get raptured before any of these things happen, glory to God, we don't have much to worry about, and we can be excited about that. If you're correct, hallelujah. If I'm correct, we got to face some stuff. And I need to ask over and over and over, are you ready to face it? It's not going to be a good time to be alive. All right? Even though I'm very thankful that I live in the day and age that I live in. But those who teach a pre-tribulation rapture believe that there will come those who accept Christ after the rapture happens. Okay? That is their teaching. And these latecomers to Christ will be true believers, but they will have to face horrors because they waited too long. Does that make sense? Everybody else got raptured. All the saints, the true believers now, get raptured. Then everybody who sat in church and heard some of that but never accepted Christ or never bowed their knee, they have to go through it. They teach that they can still accept Christ, and that's going to happen, but they may have to face all these horrible things, all right? And so that's who they say the elect is in verse 22. Let's roll it to the next verse there. Because it says down there at the bottom, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Man, if those things hadn't been cut short, everybody'd die. I mean, literally everybody. It's going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible time. But when they say the elect are the ones who accept Christ after the rapture and during the tribulation, I teach the elect are you and me today. Still, we will be around. And we haven't been raptured yet, but these events are going to happen to somebody that is saved, somebody that is born again, somebody that is the elect, all right? And I want you to notice within the history of Israel, Jacob fled from the persecution of Esau. You remember that story, Jacob and Esau, brothers. Jacob deceived his dad and wore the goat skins and asked for the blessing, got the birthright, all that kind of stuff. Then he fled before Egypt or before Esau. Moses fled after he killed one of the Egyptians, spent 40 years hiding out in the wilderness. David fled when his son Absalom tried to take over. The book of Jeremiah tells us that many in Israel fled to Egypt because the Babylonians were coming in and they didn't want to be a part of that. In fact, they took Jeremiah with them unwillingly and killed him down there. Jews even scattered or fled all over the earth after Titus came in 70 to 72 AD and destroyed Jerusalem. They fled and spread out all over the earth. So there is a pattern in Scripture of attack of the enemy, trying to kill godly people, trying to kill the leadership, trying to kill the Jews, and then fleeing. That happens over and over and over again. So this is not a new thing. It is something that if they would study their history, they would know has happened repeatedly before, and so it's going to happen yet again in the last days. Now, I want to say something here, just to you all know this, but just to make it plain. We don't do a very good job of learning from history. We just don't. If we were to study history, we would see that whether you took the Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, the Babylonian civilization, the Egyptian civilization, I don't care what one you took that was a world leader at the time. You can go over to China. You can take the Mongolian civilization. You can take any of them. They all stumbled in almost exactly the same pattern over and over and over again. And they turned away from any truth of morality. And they started allowing all kinds of immorality, and their governments voted in sinful, unrighteous acts. And we haven't learned from that, and we're still doing it today. And so we need to understand and learn from history. I just think it's very, very, very important, because some of these events are going to happen again, especially in the last days. But as such, whatever happens and whoever's going to be around, someone needs to be asking Jesus that it not happen at certain times of the year, that it not happen on a Sabbath or a sabbatical year, and that it not happen when it's cold and that type of a thing. And keep in mind that unless God shows his grace, no life would have been saved. But because of the elect, you see that up there, because of the elect. And I think because of the elect's prayers, he will cut it short. Your prayers have a profound impact on God. Do you know that? Saints, your prayers are vital, and they can change historical events if you seek the Lord. That's just the truth. So we can change how much of the end times, how horrible it becomes. I hope you see that in there. Well, let's move to another section. And this is all the further we'll get today. But it's verses 23 through 28. Let's put those up and read those. We continue on. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, don't believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Some debate whether that's possible or not. I understand that. But behold, I have told you in advance. Jesus is letting us know ahead of time there's going to be false prophets and false Christs out there. Be aware of it. Become discerning. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. Do not go out. Or, behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, don't know if any of you saw it last night, but sort of kind of did that, only came from the, all right, came from the west and flashed to the east. But anyway, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. So that's as far as we're going to get today, but let me talk about it a little bit. This is the second time in chapter 24 that Jesus warns us that there will be absolutely false prophets and false Christs that are going to show up. Now remember, I try to build on a previous verse, so I start here and try to, and so I'm trying to remember back a few weeks, I talked about the birth pangs. Whether I'm right about when that rapture happens or other people are right about it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to at least experience the birth pangs. And those aren't going to be any fun either. And I just want you to understand that. And during that time, there still will be false prophets and false Christs. And they're going to show up. And they will show great signs and wonders, miracles, if you will. They'll do amazing things, teach amazing things. You're going to read things and go, wow, that just makes sense. Saints, we must, little phrase, learn to discern. Learn to discern. Learn to discern. Get that down in your heart. The mind is not going to be able to explain these signs and wonders. You're going to see things or hear about things and you go, wow, that's amazing. You're going to get interested in it. Be very, very careful. Listen to your spirit. We are supposed to be Holy Spirit led. Amen? We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, not just by our mental thinking. To your brain, they will appear awesome and very impressive. They will seem intriguing to you and make you say, you know, maybe this guy's telling the truth. They will be given by people that you want to trust. Just listen to me on this. Now, I have no clue. I really don't. Praise God. I have no clue how many of you listened to a man named David Mead or a Scott Clark or a few others that were out there over the last several months. I don't know who listened to them. I don't know if you even heard of them before. But they kept saying, I just mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but they kept saying that there were various signs that were happening in the heavenlies, that various numbers, according to numerology in the Bible, point to a specific event taking place. They were teaching that Jesus was going to come back September 23rd of this year, right? And they were literally teaching that. Since then, they've even taught that Planet X, they have some name that starts with an N for Planet X. They said there's this planet that's traveling through space and it's going to blot out the sun on October 5th. All right, well, that didn't exactly happen either. But I want to tell you something. Those two men in particular, I'm just saying their names out loud, David Mead, Scott Clark, those two men are false prophets. They are false prophets. Now, listen to me. They may be Christians. I don't know if a Christian can be a false prophet or not. I'm not sure. But I have certainly heard false prophecies from Christians. So I want to say they may be with me in eternity. I make mistakes. They've made mistakes. I don't know. I'm not judging their hearts. But I am saying that they were and still are wrong, wrong, wrong. If you are listening to those men even today, if those two names ring a bell to anybody in here, stop listening to them. They are false prophets. You see, now those guys are saying, I tried to research this. They're not saying a whole lot right now because they've been wrong and then they were wrong again and they were wrong again. And so, but now they're saying that they aren't surprised that nothing happened because now something is going to happen later in October. They just keep extending it out a little bit further. Going to happen sometime this month and that it'll begin to be, that will start the beginning of the tribulation period. That's what they're teaching now. Okay, well, maybe Jesus didn't come back, but it is going to start something called the tribulation period. Well, I teach that we're close to the tribulation period. If we believers put our trust in people that have been proven wrong, that it makes me scared. I fear that we can far too easily be misled about many, many, many other things. And there were thousands of Christians that made television broadcasts all over the United States. As I have taught before, any and every time specific dates are given. Listen to me, saints. I said this 2 weeks ago. any and every time specific dates are given, just forget it. They're wrong. Just pitch it. And if a prophet was wrong in the Old Testament, they were stoned to death. But to complicate things even more, I'll use me as an example. I personally have said, I think we're close to the end times. I've said that for 4.5 years I've been here. And I have said that I thought something of great negative importance, earthquake, tsunami, some big thing would happen this fall. I said that last spring. I can go back and read to you the time that I said those things. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back and say, whoa, I nailed it, or anything like that. I still think more is coming, but I didn't say what the issue was. I didn't say when it would happen. I didn't say what it meant. And I didn't say if it was just for the United States or if it would affect the entire world, because I really didn't know. Here's what I got. Here's what I wanted my people to get. I just kept getting a stirring that more difficult days are coming, and I don't want it to be a shock to the people of Solid Rock when things aren't normal anymore. Just in the past couple of months, just take the last 2 months, we've had 3 hurricanes. Now, we've always had hurricanes. We've had bad hurricanes in the past. I understand it. I'm not saying those are exceptional, but we've had 3 hurricanes, and we've had the worst mass shooting in the United States history. Do you think, don't answer out loud, do you think those were just happenstance? Do you think God might be trying to tell us that because of choices our nation has made, he has taken his hand and covering of protection off of us? Because that's what I think. I don't think the United States is any longer protected from things that we were protected from 50 years ago. And I really mean that. Saints, Jesus himself taught powerfully on the end times, and he gave us certain signs to look for. But when false prophets and false Christ say they have the answers, and then they're proved wrong, it makes Christians who follow them look like fools, number one. But even more, it makes anyone who believes something is actually going to correctly happen sometime soon, which it probably is, because Scripture talks about it in the last days. These events are going to happen. I've already taught on that. There's going to be birth pangs taking place. Well, it makes them look one and the same with those who taught falsehood. And make all Christians look bad when they're wrong. Does it make sense? And though it's a bit hard for me to grasp, the end result of these false prophets and false Christs is to mislead. They may not be doing it intentionally with their brains, but they are set up to mislead even the believers. And frankly, sometimes, Wes has said this many times, he owns sheep. We're sheep, according to the Word of God. Please, kids, don't use this at home, but I'm going to tell you something about sheep. They're stupid. All right? And we as Christians get that way sometimes. I think the elect can be misled if they don't recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit in them. And I'm here to tell you, if somebody says to you, the Holy Spirit told me to call this person. The Holy Spirit told me to go over and lay hands on that person, pray for him. Holy Spirit told me to go visit this person in the hospital. Would you look at them strange? Would that be different to you? Does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Does he ever say stop or do or go or come or whatever? He should be. We need to start hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. And that's just so, so important. Okay, so I just want you to know there will be false Christs, false prophets, and they needed to be spotted, and we need to be able to discern whether they're real or not. Don't jump on any bandwagon just because they do something amazing. That didn't mean anything. You remember, and I told you this before too, we studied in Genesis and clear back when I was, I guess not Genesis, in Exodus then. The magicians that Pharaoh had could do the first 3 or 4 of the negative things that Moses did. Did you know the magicians could turn water into blood? just like Moses touched and turned the Nile into blood? Did you know that they could bring forth frogs and kill the fish? They could do those things too. Did you know they could cast down? This is the one I told you about, and you know it, you've read it. They could cast down their staffs and they'd turn into snakes. I don't know how they did that, but it sure wasn't God. And I am telling you, there can be some amazing signs that can come from false prophets and false Christs. All right? So, even more, we just have to be careful with all of those kind of things. So, make sure you're filled with the truth of the Word of God. Draw so near to Jesus in prayer that you will be able to recognize. This is so important. Folks, if you forget everything else I say today, get this. We've got to start recognizing the voice of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit inside of us when they speak to us. We've got to grab hold of that. And one of the points, I'll just lay it out blunt. This one's pretty easy, all right? Because it said in verse 27, you can see up there, just as lightning comes from east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what's that mean? Let me just tell you a real simple point. If it ever comes down to somebody says, Jesus has showed up. Number one, if you can't find him, or they say, you say, where is he? I want to go see him. Oh, he showed up spiritually. You know that that's exactly, I believe it was in 1914. I'm not sure if I got the date right. That's exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, right? That Jesus appeared and he showed up, but it was spiritually. It wasn't physically. Don't believe that stuff. I tell you what, every eye will see him when he comes back. All right? Everybody see him. It's going to be like lightning flashing from the east to the west. What else do you think that means? It's going to be obvious when Jesus Christ comes back. So if somebody says he's out in the wilderness, he showed up secretly. Shh. They're wrong. Just write it off. They're wrong. And that's going to happen. They're going to try to deceive. Oh, this guy's so wonderful. Nope, they're wrong. According to the Word of God, the whole world's going to know it when he comes back. It's not going to be happening. It's not hidden. It's not any of those things. So don't buy into some dude out in the wilderness saying he's somebody that he's not. I'm the major prophet of God. Forget it. All right? I simply can't stress that enough. It's the title of my message today. I don't want anyone to be misled at Solid Rock Church, but do pay attention to the world events through the light of Scripture. If you read it in the Bible, like the temple is going to be rebuilt, that's scriptural, right? Right? I heard one amen. Listen, folks, the temple's going to be rebuilt. Whether we're around for it or not, I'm not going to debate that with you today, but I think we will be, but it's going to be rebuilt. That's in the Bible, all right? If it's in the Bible, then you can expect it to happen, all right? And I want you to make sure you hold on to that today. Now, verse 28, and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 28 is difficult, and I really don't want to spend too much time on it. I'm going to spend a whole lot of time there. It's just very bizarre. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. Listen, I went to, I think, 9 different commentaries, and I got 7 different meanings of what that verse means. 7 out of 9. I mean, every one of them was different, and they were way different. And they all were godly men from the past. You can look them up in just the same way as I can. But none of them were even close to being in agreement. Well, maybe 2 of them were. But let me just tell you a couple of things very quickly. First of all, if you look in your Bibles, many of you will have down there in that location, there in Matthew 24, verse 28, it will have a little number or a letter beside the word vultures. Wherever the corpse is there, the vultures will be gathered. And if you look off to the side, it'll say eagles. All right? And so you can find that in your scriptures, and I just want you to point that out. And I'll tell you what, boy, they run crazy with that. The commentary writers say, oh, well, eagle obviously means, and then they start telling what they think it means. And they say, wherever the corpse is there, the eagle will show up. And so some teach that the United States is the eagle because that's our representation. Some teach that it was the Roman Empire because that was the sign of the Roman Empire, all right? That was their insignia. They wore an eagle. And I even know there was one commentary writer that talked about jets and helicopters showing up because they fly like eagles. All right? And so, I mean, they just went crazy with that whole thing. And they try to connect all these things together. And this verse just gets twisted so many different ways. And I'm just taking an educated shot in the dark when I tell you what I think it means. You can differ with me on this one. Please, I give you 100%, you know, the ability on that, because you're going to differ with about 2,000 other people that have written stuff. But if I were to give it my best shot, I would say, with the commentary writers that I did find out, who say the meaning of wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered. This is my strong opinion of what I think it means. Where moral corruption exists, that being the corpse, where moral corruption exists, their divine judgment will fall. Now, first of all, whether you agree with it meaning that or not, do you believe that statement is true if I said, where moral corruption exists, eventually divine judgment will fall? Do you believe that statement? Because that's a true statement, all right? In Jewish teaching, a vulture or an eagle, take either one of them, the raptors, anything that ate flesh like that, were unclean birds. You ever read about that back in Genesis? When he was creating in Exodus, Leviticus, they said, don't eat any of those. Don't partake of any of those things. They're unclean birds. They even call them evil birds. Now, if you will, I don't think that this whole section is talking about the Great Tribulation. Jesus said that's what it was talking about. I don't think he would be talking about the Great Tribulation and then kind of close out that one little part by saying, you know, America's going to show up and help with their jets and their helicopters to help some country out. I don't believe that's what that means. He's telling us that judgment will happen eventually, that even God Almighty gets filled up with how perverted a nation can become. He is gracious and gracious and gracious and forgives and forgives and forgives, but eventually when we keep thumbing our nose at him, judgment is going to fall. And I believe that there will come a time where God Almighty says, enough. And saints, we are not far from that. I don't know how far. If not far, maybe 50 years. It may be 250 years. That's short in the time of history. But it also may be 20 months away. I don't know. Now, I understand. Close with this. Worship team, you can start coming up this way. I understand why so many believers choose to ignore all of these verses combined together about the end times, because you just want to say, I'm going to go when I go. Whatever the rapture happens, I'll just go then, and I don't have to understand all those things. But I have said this before. I want everybody here to get this. To do that is to say to Jesus himself, this was one of the most important teachings of our Lord. It is in red letter. He taught it. And you're saying to him, if we're living close to the end times, and I'm just going to tell you, as prophetic fulfillments happen, as twisted morals happen, as the major history-breaking events keep happening again and again and again, it sure seems to me that we're getting close to the end, then we need to pray that we study these things, not avoid these things. Oh, that scares me. I don't like that thought. I don't want to think about that. Listen, I hope it scares you right out of hell. And I mean that. I hope it scares the hell out of you. I want you to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want you to be scared right into heaven. You need to study these things. Your eyes need to be opened, and we need to gain understanding. If we don't understand it and say, I don't get it, and there's all these people out there writing all these different things, we need to say, God, what are you trying to say to me and my family in these last times? We need to be asking, how might this affect me and my family? That's what I want you to get out of all of this teaching. More next week. Let me just close by saying this. As the worship team comes up here and closes with a song, the altar is open for you to ask, pray, talk to God about anything. We'll be happy to pray with you. But I want to say this, and I never know when the word of God is going to go forth and harvest all of a sudden comes. Somebody listening to me today may have said, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. I want to make sure that I'm going to avoid that if at all possible. That's not the only reason you accept Christ. You have to know that you're a sinner. You have to believe that he died for your sins. But I talked about that earlier too. He's already sacrificed his blood once for all. And if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may God give you the boldness this morning to come right down here and talk to me. I would love to intercede and pray with you for that. We'll be glad to pray for you, anything else also. But the altar is open for you to pray by yourself, you to pray with somebody else, you to intercede for anything, or come talk with me.